I don't ever mess up the truth. And don't try to compare us, okay? I'm not saying that for what he said, but I know how people think all the time. Well, you're not like him, and he, you know, all that. I like him better. It's not wise to do that. Amen. I had a preacher one time, he says, and his name was Nathan Bemis, and he pastors up in Kalispell. And he was saved when he was 19, and he was in the Navy down in Pensacola. And he couldn't write. He'd spell Bible, B-I-B-U-L. I'm not kidding you. I've seen it. And then I saw his notes. He's got a thick Bible like this, and he preached a message on how beautiful are the feet. And he spelled feet, F-E-T. But boy, he knew God. And boy, he studied the Word of God. I heard him preach a message one time on that verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise. And he said, God's got something for you, and God's got something for me. And so that was his text. And so he goes and he says, take your Bible. I'm not into the message yet. He said, take your Bible and go over here to Hosea. And God told Hosea to go marry a whore. Now, God had that for him. Does God have that for you? He got worse. Now, take your Bible and go over here to Isaiah. And God says to Isaiah, I want you to walk around naked. Now, that's what God had for Isaiah. Does that God, what God have for you? No, comparing. Yeah, that's how it goes. So you got to watch that stuff. All right. Well, I gotcha. You know, laughter doeth good. You know, get your blood going. And I know you've had a long day, and it just got longer. Oh no, he's just kidding, isn't he? You know, I see those sheepish, you know, you're just kidding. Well, go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And also go to Numbers chapter 20-21. And you're in the Numbers area, because we're going to go over there too. And I want to look at Deuteronomy 32, and we'll look at, we just have to, you're in a Bible-believing church, and I know, I don't know your pastor, as I said, but I know he uses a lot of scripture. And that's good. That's just my method also. It's always been my method. And so you're going to have to look up a number of scriptures tonight. And so I want you to see in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and to verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. So he's on the east side of the Jericho River. And he says, and behold, or Jericho, the city of Jericho. He's over on the other side of Jordan there. And he said, behold the land of Canaan. Behold, get a good look at it. You know, behold, like behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, what John said. And, you know, get a good look at him. Look unto me, all ye, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And that, look unto me. Behold, look at it. Behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die. So he says, get up there, look at the land that I'm given to the children of Israel, and die. Real nice. Real nice of the Lord, isn't it? And he says, and die in the mount, where thou goest up and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Now here's the reason. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. Because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Now that happened 20 years earlier in Numbers chapter 20, when he was supposed to speak to the rock, but he hit it a couple of times. Remember? And that's why. He gives him the reason why you're going to go up here and you're going to die up here. He told him, you're not going over there. Now he reminds him. Now that happened 20 years later, but sometimes, you know, Moses might have thought maybe the Lord forgot. But the Lord has a good memory. And it takes a long time sometimes for the ship to come in, but it comes. And so verse 52, he says, yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give unto the children of Israel. Now that's pretty disappointing. After leading the children of Israel for 40 years, all that he put up with, and all the promises that God gave him for them, and now he doesn't get to go. Pretty disappointing. But look at in chapter 33 in verse number 1. He says, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir, from Mount Paran, and came with 10,000s of saints from his right hand, went a fiery law for them. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. You follow me? And so what I want to speak to you about tonight, I want to be real encouragement to you tonight. I want to speak to you about three things. It's the title of the message is Disappointed, well, four words, disappointed, but not discouraged. Disappointed, but not discouraged. Moses is disappointed. Come on, would you be? You got to talk to me a little bit. Would you be disappointed if you got up there and you've been leading these people in there? Like I said to the preacher the other day, the ministry would be okay if it weren't for people. And these people that he put his life on the line for, and they slandered him and murmured against him and all of that. And then finally he can't go. Great disappointment. But Moses does not skip a beat. After the Lord pronounces that, you're going to look at the land, but you can't go in. He doesn't skip a beat. He does, oh, poor me. Come on, Lord. Why can't I? I mean, I love you. I try to serve you. Why can't I go in? No, he doesn't say a thing. He just goes into the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he was disappointed, but I'll tell you something, he was not discouraged. So that's what I want to talk to you about. Now, Lord, we thank you for this time we can be together. And, oh, God, would you bless and help this congregation, this pastor. Just help them and give them something, Lord, that'll just keep them their eyes on you and keep trucking for the Lord and not let the things of this life and many times through even some of our own things we brought on upon ourselves discourage us to the point where we quit and do some things that are truly not right. So please help and help me to get the point across. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, a number of years ago, we run a fair there in Missoula, and we have a fair booth, and we work with the Amazing Grace. I don't know if you've ever done that. And we put a booth up, and we have signs there, and we have little tables there, and we have three doors, you know, three C, three things God can't do, and try to get people into a spiritual conversation as they come by. And then if they're interested, we take them back to a table in the booth there. And we're not an ABC pray after me type people. so we can put, notches on our soul-winning pistol, okay, and count coup, you know. We're not like that. We try to go over the plan of salvation very, very plainly and clearly, and I know when I try to lead someone to the Lord and I get to the, to the point where they should ask the Lord to save them, I make sure that they want to do this or not doing it because I'm coercing them or forcing them or just to get me off their back. And we had a number of professions. I don't know how many. 150 maybe. And you say, how many got saved? I guess I'll find out when I get to heaven. Because the very next day on Sunday, nobody showed up at church. I mean, we were thinking, this is the first year we did it. Man, we had 150 people saved. Boy, are we going to have them come to church tomorrow. Disappointed. Boy, you better believe it. And you can get disappointed. There are a lot of things that will disappoint you in life. You know what disappointment here? Let me give you a definition here. This will help you. Here's what hey, I hear preachers say all the time, well, how's it going? I'm discouraged today. No, not really, maybe, because we didn't have a very good day yesterday. You know what a good day is. You know, it's 4 for 4. And you say, what's 4 for 4? Well, that's a good offering, good attendance, somebody saved, and a good spirit. So how was it today? Offering was down, attendance was down, nobody saved, but we had a good spirit. You know, you can always be 1 for 4. And, preacher will say, I'm discouraged. Really, what he is, he's disappointed. You work all week, you have soul winning, you try to reach people, and then you get a lot of people that threaten to come to church. We say threaten sometimes. I'm a little cynical on that. And I don't want to be, but that's just how it is. And but really what the preacher's saying, I'm disappointed. And disappointment is this. Disappointment is the loss of expectation. Are you following me? Disappointment is the loss of a desire. Disappointment is the loss of hope. Disappointment. Hope's dash. Hey, life is full of disappointments. I get disappointed looking at you. I get disappointed when I look in the mirror in the morning. I ain't that big hunk I used to be. I mean, life is full of them. But now, here's what discouragement is. And you can tell, you can see it's just not the same. Discouragement. Discouragement is the loss of courage. It's the loss of strength. D.L. Moody said this. He said, I've never seen God use a discouraged Christian. So the thing about it is, you can get disappointed. And here's my point. Here's what I'm going to try to get to you. And I'll give you some examples of it. But you don't want to let your disappointments, which you probably had a few of them already today. You're probably saying, yeah, you're one of them. And you may have disappointments, but you can't let those disintegrate or decline to discouragement. Because when you get discouraged, you're going to do some things that are stupid. And I'm going to show you in the Bible tonight. Are you following me? So take your Bible, if you would, please, and go over here to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. You know, a lot of times when we get disappointed, it's our own fault. Amen. I mean, the Bible says without counsel, the purposes are what? Disappointed. I mean, you got some decisions to make. You ought to get some counsel. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's wise. And a lot of times you and I make decisions when we really, we haven't prayed about it. Joshua didn't pray about it. Just sent him up the hill. Boom. Boy, he got discouraged, didn't he? Yeah, disappointed, but then he got disappointed first. Because you're going to conquer them all. Boy, he sent them up, 36 people killed an Ai. And boy, he got discouraged. And he allowed that disappointment to decline or to deteriorate to discouragement. And look over here in Numbers chapter 21. Let me say this. That disappointment is not a crisis. Only if you and I allow it to go down to discouragement. Look over here to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Look at Numbers chapter 21. Look at verse number 4. Are you still here? Not following me? Numbers chapter 21. And he says in Numbers chapter 21, and they, in verse number 4, and they, that is Israel, journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much, say it, discouraged because of the way. It's just not like we thought it was going to be. It's too hot. It's too cold. Shut up. Amen. I remember my dad telling me that in 1946, I was born in 46 and in Chicago, and we moved to North Dakota, he drove some old 1940 truck, and he's going to take my older brother. My mom had been married before, and take that boy, and my mom and I were going to fly back to North Dakota, and my brother Terry was in there, and they had not even got on the outskirts of Chicago, and he says, "Are we there yet?" You know, 900 miles away. I mean, the children of Israel are discouraged because of the way. Are we there yet? It's too hot. It's too cold. I don't like this food. I don't like this. And the Bible says here in verse number, end of verse 4, they were much discouraged because of the way. Look at verse number 5. Now watch what they did. And the people speak against God. I just talked to a gal the other day. She came down walking down the aisle. Hadn't been in church in a long time. And I had a, and her husband, and they came down. They said they needed to be saved. I said, you, because they had raised their hand. And they walked, they came down. Eric sat in between them, found out they both had been saved, but got out of the will of God. And she was so mad at God that she cursed God. And these people were so discouraged that they spake against God. That's pretty bad. I'll tell you, when you get discouraged, hey, don't you know they were disappointed because of the way? Don't you know that it just wasn't what they expected? And they got discouraged, and when you get discouraged, sometimes you're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to insert foot into mouth. And notice it says, and the people speak against God and against Moses and question them. Wherefore, why have you brought us out of the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. We don't like what you've given us. And look at the result of it. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. When you get discouraged, you can say something stupid. That was stupid to speak again. Would you not agree with me? I remember years ago when I went to Missoula, and my wife, we started our church in our living room, I'd pastored in Bismarck for 6 years, and I did some things wrong, just as a young pup, and all of that, and I'm gonna do it and do it right, not make the same mistakes. Anyway, I was out one day, and I won someone to the Lord that day. And on the way back, my transmission went out at one of the busiest intersections. I was driving a 1981 Oldsmobile with a diesel engine. It's a lemon. Don't ever buy one. And the transmission went out right at one of the main intersections. I nursed that thing home, and I got home. And so I'm out of a car. I mean, I got 5 kids, and I don't have a car, and I got church tomorrow morning. And so my landlord lived right across the street. He let me use his 68 Cutlass, two-door hardtop, Oldsmobile Cutlass. Well, that night, the temperature dropped from 25 degrees to 20 below zero. 35 or 40 degrees, it dropped. And I got up the next morning, and our church, we were meeting in a little office place, and it was about 15 feet wide and 70 feet long. It's just like a tunnel. And there was no heat in the building. And we had to use space heaters. So I'd have to get up every Sunday and get over there and get space. Hey, I'll tell you, that got people to church real early. Because they'd get there. There's only so many space heaters you can put out before you blow all the circuits. And they'd get there to see who could get by the space heater first. People came to church early. And we had some fights even. No, I'm just joking. And so I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I went out there, and I tried to start that Oldsmobile, and it wouldn't start. And, no go. So the church was about a mile and a half away. So I had to get on my girls, my little 10-year-old girl's pink bicycle. And now I know I got a pink shirt tie on tonight, and you say, oh, you know, well, listen, why do you wear pink? That's a queer color. I ain't going to let the queers ruin a good color. Amen. I still like pink. Anyway, I had to ride that pink bicycle at 5 o'clock in the morning up to the church and put those space heaters on. I came back and I had put some charger on the car and plugged it in on the radiator. Came back, tried to start it. It didn't start again. I walked in the garage and there was a bucket there, and I kicked the bucket. And my wife was right there, and I said, "I quit." That's what I said. And my wife said, "You can't. You're the pastor." And I just said something stupid. I've never said I quit. I really have never wanted to quit the ministry. Now, maybe others have. I just said something really stupid. Why? I was discouraged, man. And it got worse. I went to church that day and the offering was $3. Guess who put it in? Me. I'm just saying, I got disappointed and then I allowed it to discourage me and said something stupid. And when you get discouraged, you may say something stupid to your wife, to your kids, to your boss, to your God. Don't let disappointment decline, deteriorate to discouragement. Are you following me? Take your Bible. Would you go take your Bible and go over here to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, 13, excuse me. Numbers chapter 13. When you get discouraged, you can say something stupid and say the wrong thing. Not only that, when you get discouraged, you might think the wrong thing. You might let your imagination. Remember John the Baptist? He was in prison. Now I want to tell you something. There in Matthew chapter 11, I want to tell you something. Jail is no fun. I know some of you have not experienced. I have. Some of you probably have. We're not going to ask for a raise of hands tonight. Okay? But some of you look pretty familiar. Your faces in the post office. Anyway, jail is discouraging. And John the Baptist is in jail. And he sends his disciples unto the Lord. And you know what he said. He said, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" You know what happened to John? Hey, Lord, I've been preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You're going to set up a kingdom on earth, and I'm preaching, you're the king. And if the kingdom is here, I thought you set the prisoners free. Why am I in jail? You know what happens? Your thinking gets messed up when you get discouraged. You start imagining things and start doubting things about the Lord and the Word of God. Look over here to Numbers chapter 13, excuse me. Numbers chapter 13, and Moses here is sending out the 12 spies. And you know the story, 10 come back and two are okay, Caleb and Joshua. Pick it up in verse number 30. After they described what they saw over there, look at verse 30. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, and for we are well able to overcome it.'" That would be Caleb, of course, you know, confederate with Joshua. And he said in verse number 31, "But the men that went up with him, the other 10, said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Look at verse number 32. "And they brought up an evil report of the land." Now just hold your place right there and go over here to Numbers chapter 32. They brought up an evil report. And you know what? Caleb brings up a good report. He said, the Lord's with us. Well, the Lord will help us take this land. And by the way, did he? Certainly did. Caleb had faith. Joshua had faith. But the other 10 said, no, we're not able to do it. Well, certainly you aren't. Look over here to Numbers chapter 32. And in Numbers chapter 32, when they're ready to cross over, and here's what Joshua says. They say to to Moses, Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh and Asher. Look at verse number 6. They wanted to stay over on the other side because there was good land over there and good for their cattle. Are you following me? You know the story. And notice in verse number 6. And he said, well, look at the end of verse number 5. He said, bring us not over Jordan. They didn't want to go over. They were supposed to go over, but they said, no, we want to stay over here. And he said, and Moses said unto the children of Gad, watch this now, and to the children of Reuben, shall your brother go to war, and shall ye sit here? Watch this now. And wherefore say it? Discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. It's a different situation, but he said, you are discouraging them by you not going over with the whole of Israel. Look at verse number 8. He said, wherefore discourage ye the heart. Thus, verse number 8, thus, same thing, did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. Now he's referring back to Numbers chapter 13. You still with me? And he says, thus said your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they what? They discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. Go back here to Numbers chapter 13, verse number 32. So they brought up that evil report which discouraged the people. Now watch it. Watch what they said. They got discouraged. Are you following me? They got discouraged. Look at verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. Oh, really? Oh, really? When's the last time you saw a land that eats up the inhabitants? What have they got? I mean, do we have man-eating plants? I don't know, but the land eats up people. You got people eating land. Are you following me? I think. What I'm saying, they got discouraged and they started to listen, that's not true. They're exaggerating. You know what happens when you get discouraged? You start exaggerating things. You not only say the wrong thing, you not only think the wrong thing, you not only doubt God like John the Baptist, you start imagining things. Look at the rest of this thing. It says, this is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in them are men of a great stature. How big are they? How really big? How big can big be? And he says in verse number 33, and there we saw the giants, the son of Enoch, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight. That's normally the problem. And we were in our own sight as what? Grasshoppers. And so, now you guys live out here. You get grasshoppers out here? Now, I don't know. I've seen grasshoppers, I suppose, like that. Maybe like that? That's about inch? Right? I'm 6 foot. Okay? That's 72 inches. So that means a 72-foot giant. Have you ever seen one? I don't know, I suppose in the movies. I'm just saying, they started come on. We're like grasshoppers to these giants. I'm saying when you get discouraged, you start imagining. Your imagination can run. Come on, you know that. You start imagining things that and bringing up scenarios that really aren't so. And that can happen when you get discouraged. Disappointed. Don't let it get to discouragement. Oh, you're going to be disappointed. They were disappointed, but then they got discouraged. They brought up an evil report, and they brought up, and it discouraged the people. You know what some people have today? You know, there's those that have the gift of exhortation. There are some that have the gift of discouragement. Some people are just good discouragers. I mean, instead of, come on, listen, I come to church, you know what I do? I want to come in and say, man, I tell you, it's pretty bad. I tell you, that world, that is stinking out. Now, hey, listen, you come to church, why don't you encourage somebody? Amen. How you doing? Oh, I'm not doing well. I'll tell you what, the Lord's good and He'll help you, and you can encourage people instead of discouraging them all the time. That went over like a lead balloon. Well, that's because some of you got it. Some of you got the gift of discouragement. You're discouraging me. Oh, come on, it's Sunday night. Come on. And notice he says in verse number, chapter number 14, and look at verse number 1. He says this, and all the children and the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. I want to tell you what what they did. They discouraged the people so much that the people, I mean, it just racked their emotions. It got them all weepy. And we can't, what are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. And the giants over there, there's land and plants that eat up people. And what are we going to do? I'll tell you what, it'll rack your emotions. It'll mess you up. Look at the rest of this thing. We're not done yet. Verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured, here it is again, against Moses. You know what that'll do? You get discouraged, you'll turn on leadership. Pastor's fault. We should have never got into this building program. We should have never done this. It's his fault. Happens all the time. It's probably happened here. You'll turn you on leadership. Ha, ha, how'd you get us into this thing? And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. I told you, you better watch out what you say when you get discouraged, because they do die in the wilderness. God might answer your request when you say something stupid. You better watch what you say. Don't let that disappointment go to discouragement. Again, verse number 3. And he said, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? I mean, you know what you want to do? They want to go back to the place they were delivered out of in the first place. Out of the world. And by the way, I've been in the ministry long enough, and I'm no pro. I am not a pro. I don't know it all. I got a lot to learn yet. I mean, I do. But I'll tell you what, I've seen people get discouraged. And I'll see what happens to their kids. They go right back into that world. And I'll tell you what, I just got a... I don't even like to talk about it. I mean, a kid that was in my church when he was 10 years old and he wanted to go to church, his mother and her sister, they got disappointed because of this or that, and they got discouraged, and they left the church, took the kid who loved church with him. That was 25 years ago almost. And just a few years ago, he shot a guy and killed him. This kid that loved church could have been raised in church like some of you and married like some of you have been in this church and some have been in our church. Why? Because somebody got disappointed and got discouraged, got all messed up, went back into the world, let their kids go back into the world because they got discouraged. I got the stories, brothers and sisters. Don't get discouraged. Don't let the devil get the victory there. Don't let that disappointment. Some of you tonight, you're dealing with it. I know that. We all do. I mean, when my wife gets cancer, that's disappointing. Come on. We eat right. We live. We've served the Lord all these years, and now she's stricken with that. And you know what? We were down in Mexico talking, and this one guy, he's a multimillionaire, and he's not saved. So I got to excuse what he just said a little bit. But he said, he looks at some other guy, and he said, why didn't that guy get it? Why me? We've never thought that way, by the grace of God. We've been disappointed, but I'll tell you what, we are not discouraged. Amen. You can't let it do because you'll say something stupid. You'll do something stupid. And by the way, you'll discourage somebody else. You know what? No man lives unto himself. No man dies unto himself. We are influencing people by how we respond to things. People are watching you. They really are. They're watching you and how you respond to adversity. Is that making sense? Look at verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let's get another pastor. Now that's about the... There it is. Let's get another captain. And return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the children of Israel. And they wanted someone else. And guess what? That other fellow would lead them the wrong way. Back to Egypt. Take your Bible, lastly, and go over here to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. I remember when I first got to Missoula, again, I was there a few years. And like I said earlier, I was doing all the right things. I mean, I was trying to do some of the mistakes I'd made in my first or second pastorate. First pastorate I had was only 4 months. They kicked me out. And they voted me out, okay? And that's a long story, but that's another sermon, okay? But I was trying to do things right, and nothing was happening. And I got discouraged. And I doubted whether God wanted me to be in Missoula. 2 years, 3 years in. I mean, when I went there, before I went there, I prayed, I fasted. I went up in the mountains with a jug of water and my Bible, and I spent some time up in the mountains in Wyoming and prayed, and I know God wanted me there. But things just weren't happening. I got discouraged a little bit. And I went to a meeting, and a couple of brothers over there at a meeting encouraged me. And I went back and, you know, got right back with it. And I'm so glad I stayed. I mean, I'm so glad I stayed. And, people that have been saved and churches, other churches started. And just, you know, to see my other people go out of the church and do that. I'm just so glad I stayed. I'm glad for brothers that encouraged me in the Lord. And so you start doubting when you get discouraged. Now look at here, Numbers, which started this whole thing. When Moses, they came to this place and they were out of water again. Verse number 4, 24. And he said, why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? And verse number 2 said there was no water there. And verse number 5, and wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is of no place of seed or of figs or of vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces. And that's a good place to go. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them, and the Lord told them and gave them some instructions of what he was to do. And he said, take that rod in verse number 8. Gather thou the assembly together, and Aaron and thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the Lord, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. He smote her twice when he was supposed. He did the wrong thing. You know what some of you are going to do? You're going to do the wrong thing. You're going to get so discouraged that you're going to do something stupid. You're going to move. You're going to get another job. You're going to marry the wrong person. Hello? You better not let that disappointment go to discouragement. Let me show you this, and I'm done. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Listen, if such a servant as Moses was judged for speaking unadvisedly with his lips, how much more? Those of us that live in deliberate disobedience in many situations. Look over here to 1 Samuel chapter 30. You know what's going on in 1 Samuel chapter 30? In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David comes back, and they had come back from Achish here, and in verse number 1 it says, it came to pass when David, his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken, Ahinoam, and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Watch this. And David was greatly distressed because the people spake of stoning him. Here's the people that he had worked with. Do you remember when those people came to him, all those that were in debt and distressed and discontented? And guess what? David, they came to David, and David became their friend and their captain. Are you with me? And these are the people that are turning. I'll tell you, sometimes the people you help the most turn on you the most. Just the way it is. And David was greatly distressed. How can you guys do this to me? Come on, I love you guys. I love your families. I'm sorry, it's not my fault this happened. And he was greatly distressed, but I want to say something to you. Before he allowed it to discourage him and speak unadvisedly and think wrong things and then do something wrong, look what he did. It says, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughter, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's what you got to do. Amen. When you get disappointed, before it goes too bad and you go belly up, amen. And before things get worse and you do say something stupid and start thinking something stupid and then do something stupid and lead your family the wrong way and do something that you will regret, have the sense, have the spirituality to look to the Lord and encourage yourself in the Lord your God. You just think what he's done for you. He saved your wicked soul. You deserve hell. I deserve hot hell. I deserve a real hot hell. But he's forgiven me. He's cleansed me. He saved me. Look what he's done. Encourage yourself in that. Look what he's doing. Look at the past. Look at the present. What's he doing in your life? You getting prayers answered? Have you had prayers answered? Since you've been saved, have you not seen God work in your... I've seen my mother get saved. My mother's in heaven now. Two of my sisters get saved. Some of my best friends get saved. A whole bunch of people that I don't hardly even know get saved. And lives changed. And wow! And God answered prayers almost on a daily basis. I mean, even little things and big things. When you get disappointed, before it gets down to discouragement, you got to encourage, you better discipline yourself to encourage yourself and get on your face and say, Lord, I don't understand why these guys want to stone me. But I'll tell you what, Lord, you've been good to me. And you know what happens after a while? It starts down here. Amen. When you think about what God's done for you. And it kind of moves up here. Amen. And I'm not going to move over here. And then you get going like this. And then you get like your preacher and be a charismatic. I mean, you just start saying, praise God. I'll tell you what, man, I'll tell you, I've had some thought. I remember one day down there, I had to go down to the church building, and it was on Sunday afternoon, and boy, I tell you, something had happened, blah, blah, I can't even remember anymore, but I just went down there and said, praise you, God. I love you, God. You've been good to me. I had a praisey day, not a crazy day. I had a praisey day. You know what? I got fired up. I fired myself up. You got to encourage yourself sometimes. Don't wait for the brother to do it. Don't wait for the sister to do it. Don't wait for your spouse to do it. Don't wait for your parents. You encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Is He your God? You see. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Disappointed, but not discouraged. So what do you do? Well, hope for the best and expect the worst and hope for the best. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you lastly. I take this jacket off. Make God your greatest expectation. And you'll never be disappointed. Amen. Just get a walk with God. And say, God, you'll never disappoint me. And whatever comes from the hand of God is right. Even if it seems wrong, whatever comes from Him is right. Let's bow for prayer. Disappointed. Are you disappointed tonight? Are you disappointed tonight in something? Why don't you talk to the Lord right now and encourage yourself in the Lord your God, right now. I mean, before it gets too bad, before you do something stupid, say something stupid, let your imagination run wild on you. And thinking about things that, and conjuring up scenarios that just really aren't even going to come to pass. It's crazy what your imagination can do when you get discouraged. Is He your God tonight? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, I'm so glad I got Him. I'm so glad I received Him. Do you know Him as your Savior? If you don't, well, it'd be a good night to get born again. It'd be a good night to get saved. Lord, tonight, thank You for the Word of God. And thank You for the message. It's right. It's right. We see it, and we could see more examples of it in the Scripture. Our men have been disappointed and let it get to discouragement. Thank God for the example of those that didn't let it get on top and get them. And our Lord, things that happened to Him, slandered and lied about and assassination attempts on His life. And all He did was love people and be kind and spoke the truth. But He never failed nor was discouraged. And He went all the way and didn't quit like so many do when they get discouraged. Would you help this church? Would you help the pastor? Would you bless him? Help him, Lord, to nip these things at the bud, because they come to us every day. And I pray, dear God, that You'd help. And trust that You will. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Play the piano if you would like to use the altar. It's open for you. Okay, let's see if we can get an offering plate back there and back there. And beans, they come here for some help medically, health-wise. Let's see if we can be an encouragement to them. Anything you give in the offering plate, we'll give to them. So, Brother Halfman, if you put $3 in the offering plate, we'll give all three to you. So let's grab a couple offering plates back there and just set them back there on your way out to do that. And I know we got play practice starting about 5 minutes. So, okay.